6.
Hi.
Back. Episode 166 live TVI.
Live and direct.
In live and direct in your ears, in your eyes if you're watching on YouTube. YouTube.com/WeAreTVI. It's good to be back. We've got a heat wave. We've got the aircon. There might be a tiny bit of low level background noise today in the studio. We've got the aircon on because it's like 35 degrees out. There's also some party dams going on out
that
in the
tanned bicep.
Did you fake tan it to show up the shadows better?
I didn't actually. I just drew it on.
It's a fake. You got an implant. Have you ever seen their muscle
implants?
That really
implants? Hurt. Actually, didn't. Yeah.
How funny are they? Just like
didn't that the head of the paparazzi guy? Do you remember when he was on that Celebrity
Big Brother? Yeah.
He had the abs.
Yeah.
Look horrible.
Why not just draw? You could just get a tattooed abs on. Surely.
Just fucking. If people lost weight, that everyone's got abs, didn't they?
I mean, all right.
Some of us.
That sounds like some sort of.
Some of us have got them prominently.
Andrew Tate vibes. Everyone's got abs, yeah, just underneath.
But it's true that abs are made in the kitchen. No. Do you know what I'm saying? Big up Tate. They're all bitches, Tate.
But there you are. I mean, that is true. It is mostly dietary, but you know, you do.
They're not really, Phoebe.
Phoebe's in the hot seat today of producer. Pressure, a lot of pressure on you today because we're going to try something new, which is we're going to try and go to a live broadcast to the Edinburgh Fringe, sort of a roving reporter. We thought we'd check in at the Fringe with somebody we know. Today's is Abigail Shamon.
Get the lowdown.
See how it's going down up there. We just thought, yeah, let's see if we can get them to zoom into the studio mid-show. No sound check. I'm just going to hope it's not going to work. I'm going to say it now. I think it's going to be a catastrophe, but who knows? Are you missing not going up to Edinburgh? I know you don't like the place, but even as a visit, not even as a visit.
I don't even like it as a.
Really?
I've never visited as a punter, but.
Not, I'm not.
I don't like.
Pre comedy, but.
Did you go there pre-comedy?
I went.
I didn't even know what it was until I did stand-up.
The year I started going to watch a lot of stand-up before I started open spots was when I found out about it, and I went up to watch shows, and that coincided with me then beginning my open spots.
Where was your first gig?
My first gig was at a place called the Actor Centre.
Like Stuart Gold's.
Just taking notes, trying to work out to get better at comedy. That sounds like I'm digging out Stuart, but that was the whole concept of the show, wasn't it? Didn't he start the Comedian's Comedian as
I think you were just
I'm learning comedy via talking to comedians.
Like, was that how it started?
I thought that was the idea of it. I met now sounds like I've insulted Stuart. What I thought the idea was we're going to learn the craft of comedy.
I think you should.
And that's why it was like, I always thought it was like he was saying it as the search for the search for the secret to comedy. But because otherwise, why would you be asking about people's craft and that?
I suppose, yeah.
I don't listen to how people do comedy.
Not
without trying to go like, oh, maybe I could implement some of these
tools. You should try something different because that's shit.
Anyway, what were we talking about? I was saying, my first gig was at the Actor Centre in a Covent Garden, which I don't even know if that exists anymore.
Not the African Centre, the Actor Centre.
Yeah, no, they're very different different centres.
Because the African Centre is where Top Secret started,
That started, yeah.
And the Actor Centre, what gig was that?
It was a one-off showcase from this weird sort of
They stopped doing
workshop.
Gigs there after your set.
Yeah. They were like, that's the best first gig ever. It's like when Elvis did his first gig and they're all calling up. Fuck, man.
That Dreamboat, he is a dreamy guy, and he was playing Elvis.
Oh, man, he's absolutely...
I mean, he's not as dreamy as Elvis.
No.
Can get in me Elvis immediately.
No, yeah. But yeah.
Them cheekbones.
Did you
those bum cheekbones. No. Have they been contoured?
Contoured,
yeah.
Did you, Phoebe, think Elvis was a very attractive man? What's your thoughts on Elvis?
Doesn't quite do it for me, I don't.
Really?
Do you think he's one of those sort of guys
his that is
more of
a
heterosexual man's idea of a good-looking man? There's a lot of those.
Seems to be men are his biggest fans, aren't
like
they?
Like Clooney and Brad Pitt. Every bloke always goes there like, top of my list if I had to get bummed by a bloke.
Not
but
Clooney.
Like, actually,
Clooney's boring.
I think women probably have much more, heterosexual women or bisexual women, probably have much more acquired taste, yeah, technically.
A bit more than just face structure.
Like who's your number? Dick. If you had to, out of all the famous actors, who's the best one?
Oh, I don't. That's tricky. But on ADIF podcast, they ripped me to shreds because who's the Miles? What's his face? That's in Top Gun.
Oh, Miles Teller.
Yeah, I basically was like, but I prefer Timothy Chalamet and Beautiful Boy. That's the kind of vibe.
Oh, really? So you're not into a beefcake. You're like a little waif.
It's not even that. It's that he's like broken, drug-addled.
Yeah. Oh, you want someone sad.
You want to save him.
Is that what it is?
I need a fixer.
Oh, really?
Fixer-upper. This isn't what I would choose. This was just an observation of who I've gone for.
Yeah.
And I have since decided to switch up my type.
Where did this Timothy Chalamet chap come from? I'd never heard of him. And then I watched June.
They grew him on a little pear tree.
I think they did.
Do you have a good relationship with your father?
But to be honest,
now you are turning to Stuart Goldsmith.
Better than most.
Oh, yeah.
Which is then, so I don't have an excuse for any weird behaviour.
Right. Yeah.
You know, most
girls
are like, oh,
you don't need an excuse for weird behaviour. You can just be weird.
I can just be weird, yeah.
I'm currently writing the eulogy of I'm going to be saying at my dad's funeral. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's quite an extreme thing to do, isn't it? I'm laughing because saying that sentence sounds fucking weird. But it is weird writing a speech. Mm. Did you do a speech at your dad's funeral?
No.
Just did your normal 20?
I just did my old stuff.
Exactly. I'll put a new bit in. Open with your Wetherspoons joke.
Close with somebody's going to get a blowjob. And then went out.
Thanks for coming, everyone.
It's a sad time.
Yeah, it really means a lot. Did you say there was no, so you didn't do a speech?
I didn't do a speech. People did, yeah. I didn't
want
to.
You didn't want to? No. Or didn't, why did you feel it would be too hard?
Like, emotionally, I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Or you didn't want to write the new gear?
I didn't want to write any new stuff.
It's a tricky one. Because like, it is, and this, again, that makes you sound like, I do think doing stand-up rots your brain. Because I've been writing a speech. I'm not going to say it word for word, but I thought I should get it down so I can tell them how long it's going to be. Mm. Hour and 20. I'm doing Edinburgh preview.
A bucket afterwards.
But no, but it, like, you can't help think in my head. I'm like, normally if I write new material,
you've got a flyer team.
It ends with my my Twitter handle.
It ends with your story of your dad dying.
But yeah, like it's. There's part of me going like, I'm nervous about saying it because I was like, I've not tried it out before. Is that what the fuck?
Try and plug TVI, can you?
For more of that gold, everyone.
It's a QR code for our podcast at the back.
Sign up to the Patreon.
You know, there's a WhatsApp group and anyway, thank you.
But no, genuinely like, because it's hard to write anything you're going to say out loud without putting it in stand-up terms.
So I'm
writing these things and I'm in my head, I'm thinking like, the little bits where I'm trying to be a bit amused, I'm trying to keep it light. But I don't want it to be funny. You know what I mean, I'm not. I have to keep stopping
myself.
Especially
if you bomb on your ass.
But the thing is, I'm trying to stop myself from writing it as stand-up. So I don't want it to be a fucking.
Yeah.
You know, I do want it to still be ultimately at a funeral.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to get. I'm not writing it as like I want to laugh every 10 seconds. You know,
every 20, because it's a funeral, every 20 seconds.
Yeah. Stretch it out a bit.
The 40-minute slump.
Yeah.
Everyone gets sad.
Yeah. But it's a weird process writing it. I'm going to keep it tight, no more than like 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Is that long? That's what the thing, I don't know if that's a long speech.
I mean, you're the son, aren't you? Like, I think that's all right, 10 minutes.
I think it's about, because I'm the only one doing a proper speech. Like, my aunt's going to read out a little poem. And that's it. We're going to keep it very short. So I reckon it'll still be only like
20. You're going on art, you're headlining.
Yeah.
If someone drops out, I'm around.
Always be closing. I'm going to show up late, so I have to go on last.
You're driving the other acts, yeah.
So before we started recording, I was telling you, I'm not going to name any names in this story. But I witnessed.
I will name them on our on our WhatsApp, patreon.com/wearetvi. Join our WhatsApp
group. I witnessed. Like firsthand, live this week, the clash of generations of comedy in that style. So, you know, basically, I witnessed a older sort of, you know, older circuit. Somebody did the 90s and the 2000s, you know, just we sort of caught the end of that
racial
when we started.
War.
But, you know, the old stalwarts of the comedy club war. Scene. And obviously now the world is totally different. It's a whole different influx of young people, different generations, different styles, different sort of... sensibilities. And I watched basically somebody, this older act, do what used to happen across the board almost when we started. You know, when we started, the headliners, the older acts, sort of treated us like shit until you proved you were funny. And then they talk to you, and they wouldn't treat you like shit. And they'd always give you advice that you didn't ask for, didn't want. And it was almost like this weird rites of passage that you sort of basically felt like, oh, well, I've got to take my licks while I'm new, innit?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you work your way up, and then you're sort of, you're in the club,
take
and you're fine.
No shit from them.
You just weren't getting the gigs.
I didn't gig.
But no, but I basically just saw that thing of an older comic try and give advice to a new comic, and just... It was very cack-handed and very sort of like, you know, it wasn't asked for. It was unsolicited advice.
Yeah.
And that sort of, and that newer comic from the new sort of wave who aren't our level, our generation, who just had to just sit back and take it and be like, oh yeah, this is, I'm a fucking newbie. This is what I do. I have to take shit from older acts. And she got very upset, and it was a real diplomatic incident. And I was like, but man, it's hard. It's a different, it's harder
the
now.
Problem,
I feel like we started in quite a sweet spot.
Yeah.
You know, it was pre-social media. There was none of that. Like, you could just go out and just do loads of gigs and learn without just too much pressure. You got, and like, you know, you didn't. There wasn't this weird feeling like you were. There was a clash of civilizations between old comics and new comics.
Do you think the newer acts are a bit more entitled, a little bit?
I'm not saying it's entitled at all. I do think it's just generationally.
Do you hate them all?
No. One thing I will say, and I'm not. This isn't. I'm saying that it's totally right for somebody to say, like, why are you giving me advice?
Yeah.
Don't give advice to people who haven't asked for advice. That should be the standard.
Yeah,
rule.
That should be the general.
But I will say, just in a generational sense, young people.
He didn't mean any harm by it.
It's no, he didn't.
It wasn't patronising.
That doesn't take away from the fact it was unsolicited.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, I think that is something that. Yeah, but I do think there is also the younger people, and the younger people now are slightly more sensitive.
What were their genders?
I'm not giving any information. But I will say it on the WhatsApp group.
I think they were they theys or thems?
Exposed.
Huh?
I think you have already exposed.
You reckon?
What, their genders?
No. Oh, yeah, probably have, actually. But yeah, it is that thing of, I think the older act was wrong to offer up advice without asking.
But meaning,
do you want
well.
Some advice? I think he was well-meaning, but that's by the by. That's a separate point.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, yeah, I think it was, but also the way the newer act responded was like, oh, that is a generational thing as well. I think, you know, it is younger people now are a bit more sensitive.
Snowflake.
I'm not saying the word snowflake. I'm not fucking Jordan Peterson. I don't know who even says the word snowflake anymore. But yeah, it is that thing of it. I think younger people are more sensitive now to criticisms. Which is, I don't know.
I like how you both looked at me at that point.
Well, you're young, but you're a bit more hardy, I reckon.
You're a tough, wise person, I think.
Yeah, yeah. The amount of shit you get thrown at you every day, it's hardened you
I
up.
Nearly got shit thrown at me a couple
actual
of weekends
shit.
Back.
I bet your mates actual were shit. Snowflakes, though.
Some people got really drunk and we got them to leave the club, and they were outside the club and they pissed themselves and one of them shat themselves.
On purpose? As an act of defiance.
No,
oh, right, okay.
No, but then I'd gone out to get something from the shop across the road, and I could hear one of the guys going, "That's her," and I was like, "Oh no, 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 no!"
Shitty
no.
pants getting thrown at you.
Yeah, I don't want that.
True story.
I don't know if he would have done that. But.
I was about to say his full name. I probably should leave his surname off for
or just give
legal
the surname.
Reasons.
WhatsApp group.
But he's not a comedian. There'd be no way of knowing. But a friend of mine from childhood. His name is Richard. I'm not going to say his
Richard
name.
Wallace.
But we went on a lad's holiday to just Tenerife when we were 18. And we had a big bust up, a drunken bust up. Just loads of us had a bit of a ding dong. And me, him and one of my other mates went back to our flat. We were sharing an apartment.
And fucked.
And he basically just went into this rant about how he hated us all. Because I thought he just got into a dark place when he was drunk. We were sitting out on the balcony, and for some reason he was in his pants and like a shirt. He'd taken his trousers off.
Good thighs.
And he shit his pants on purpose and threw his dirty pants at me and my other mate Rich.
Oh my God.
And it was fucking so disgusting, but like so extreme.
In an angry way?
Yeah, 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 yeah. He went,
that's insane.
He goes, I fucking hate. We were trying to calm him down because there'd been a big argument. He was like, I fucking hate you lot. I hate every one of you. And he just went, he just pulled his pants off and threw them at us and just ran off.
Oh my God.
Ran off into his room. And it's like, you know.
What was he like? Was he like a bit of a baby kind of guy? A bit bratty like that? That's all. That's
just,
extreme.
He was just one of them guys that when he got drunk, You know what I mean? Like. And he got quite emotional and sort of.
Was he ashamed the next day?
Yeah, Yeah, but not too much. Not as much as he should have been. Like, definitely,
he might not have admitted
the
shame.
Made me think. He definitely should have been a bit more sorry.
Should have been mortified and ashamed deeply.
Was a little bit like, you know, he was like, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. It's like,
really? Really? I don't know, man. It's all right. You're shitting in your pants on purpose and frying it at people.
But it was fine. Like that, when I mentioned the other, a couple of weeks ago on an episode about how wankered I got in Luxembourg at that wedding.
You did
really,
the same.
Yeah.
But no,
because
cab driver.
Because he was always one of the ones that, in there was a small, you know, out of the big group of mates, he was one of the ones in the group of like, they're going to get the most drunk and we're going to have to carry them home. And he was one of the ones that saved me when I was the most, when I was the most drunk person in the
gang.
You're
still friends with Shitty Pants Boy?
Yeah, of course. Oh, it takes more than throwing shit at me to drop you as a mate.
Yeah, but
Julian knows that.
But you should at least like get him back.
No, you just got some. You get everyone gets a few like sort of. I think, get out of jail free cards.
I think the shame has got him back, isn't it?
Well, clearly he wasn't ashamed. That's the thing.
I reckon
he might not have been vocal about it because he's with his boys, but he probably must have been.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No one's proud of that.
I mean, you can't do that as a human being and not be shamed.
But yeah, no, I don't have that weird thing where like if somebody does something to me, I don't. If it's a mate. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to be like crawling on their hands and knees and like, I'm really sorry.
No.
I'm happy sometimes just to write it off and be like, it happened, let's move on.
I forgive people.
Oh, no, I'm
stuff.
The opposite way. If a close friend of mine has fucked me over, I'm like, no, 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 you need to do a bit of grovelling to
really?
Show that you actually care.
You want payback.
Well, if I'm going to forgive you and let you back into my life, you've got to show that you've changed something. I don't know. I feel like you're probably, that's a better way, your way.
Well, it's the way of, you know, no one, ultimately, what is
the difference between men and women?
Oh,
people.
Shut up.
It's not, it's more, I just think, you know, your forgiveness should be unconditional, shouldn't it? It should be.
I forgive very quickly.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very forgiving.
I forgive you, Julian, very quickly.
Oh, thank you.
It's for the best. Otherwise,
unless I get
we wouldn't
betrayed.
Have a producer.
Yeah, the amount of comments already this morning.
I mean, even you get betrayed by your partner, say an affair or something, does it take you long to kind of.
Wait, what? Sorry? If you get betrayed.
Like, you know, when you're, if your partner had an affair.
Yeah.
That's a hard one to kind of get over, isn't it?
I think I forgive quite quickly, but I want, but because I forgive really quickly, I want them to prove, to show that they care that I've forgiven.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've discussed being cheated on in the past, haven't we?
Yeah.
Have you been cheated on?
No, knowingly, yes. I sort of found out about one like down the line.
When you're not that
when
invested.
We're not together anymore.
Yeah.
Mm. And,
it's easier that one, isn't
and
it?
It was fine. I literally didn't have any. I was like, oh, it's fine, really, isn't it? Because I've moved on and like, there's no point getting upset about something that you didn't know about at the time and just happened. And now you're not. If it was a relationship you're still in, obviously you're upset. But if you're not in that relationship anymore, then that relationship wasn't meant to be.
Are you still friends? Were you still like talking to them? Because I might have brought it up with them.
Very rarely.
Oh, then yeah.
But like, you know, sort of say hello, a little bit of contact now and again. But like, not to the point of like, oh, by the way, I found out this thing.
No, you wouldn't have said it.
Nah, let it be.
Yeah, there's no point. If you're over them, I mean, you're not even you're not feeling the need to say
that,
are you?
But that's what I mean. I suppose it shows that you're over somebody fully.
Yeah.
If you find something out about that, like that, and you're like,
I found stuff. Like when I split up with a girl when I was like 21, 22, I was fucking devastated.
Was that just last week?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, and
45 years ago.
But that was probably the worst I've been in my life.
Mm.
And then a year later or so, I heard about them doing something, and I didn't care either. I was right. It might have just been right. That I felt a bit bad for me back then. Oh, that'd have been. I didn't know that stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you don't. I don't care.
No.
I didn't have any emotional, like guttedness.
Yeah. It's hard, isn't it? Because you're sort of then getting, you should always, if you find out something happened in your youth, imagine you found out your parents did something when you were young that you had no idea about, probably didn't have any effect on your childhood. I think some people take it really like, oh my God, it's ruined my childhood. It's like, it didn't really, did it? You're now ruining your childhood retrospectively with the memory of it. So actually, it's probably
reframe
better just...
Reframe it.
It's a nice way of putting it.
Get on with your fucking life. Right. Have a cup of tea, bruv.
Anyway, it could be an age thing, though. You just get to an age where you just go like, oh, what's the point in stressing about something that is done? Mm. You know what I mean?
That's a hard one for people, isn't it, when their partner has an affair. It's fucking brutal.
In real time, that is brutal.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's
because it's like, like at first it's like shock.
It's like,
you're like, I'm not even that bothered, really. And then you go to sleep, you wake up the next day, it's just fucking all over you.
I remember I saw the messages that an ex of mine had sent when he was cheating on someone. And I got, but normally I would get upset, but this one made me so angry, but I got so hot, I had to start taking my layers off.
What way? What does that look
Because
what
I was just so angry.
I'm going to get naked to read.
Yeah, literally, I was just angry. I was like,
get
boiling
my
up.
Out of the bus stop.
Oh my God. Right. Yeah. Fuck. It's,
could you chuck me a grape?
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Is that okay? Shall I see if I can catch it in my mouth?
Do you want a tiny bunch?
Oh, I'd love a tiny bunch.
Have a little tiny bunch of grapes.
Thank you so much.
But yes. Anyway, that's enough chat about... what? How did we get onto that?
I don't know. I think I brought it up.
Yeah. But anyway, so I'm writing a eulogy, and that will be done next episode, next week.
Do you want to run?
I'll report back
now?
On how it went. I'll record it. We'll put it out on Patreon.
Oh, you could. Why don't you do that? People would be interested.
This is why I
recorded
I'm
my
not
dad's
put
funeral.
On Patreon, for fuck's sake.
I recorded my dad's funeral was in the church in Covent Garden, that big
church.
Yeah. But his sister's in Australia. She was like old, and she was losing her eyesight, and they were really close, and she couldn't go to the funeral, obviously, because it's in London. Yeah. So I had to video it for her. So I set a video up, but the mic was so bad, and I sent
it. You had to dub it over. It's like a Bruce Lee film.
Just put a... like Jackie Chan. But the mic was so bad, she was like, oh, I can't really hear the eulogies and stuff. So I sent it. You remember Joseph Wilson, the comedian?
Yeah.
He was working in like some uni or something, and I got some sound guy, but he was taking, this story's fucking boring. Anyway, I couldn't get the sound right, so I fucking fucked it all up.
Oh no.
Yeah, so that happened.
But where, so you got a comedian to read out the eulogies?
No,
you meant
to sort the sound level. There was an editing.
So you meant like afterwards you went to a comedian.
Like,
and was like
audio description.
Like what's that app that you can get famous people to like say happy birthday?
Oh, Cameo.
Yeah.
Cameo. Have you ever received a cameo?
No.
I've been sent a couple of cameos.
From her?
Oh my God, I thought you were going to say you did them.
No. I got asked a couple of times, but I got emailed from Cameo saying, do you want to join up? I was like, who's going to buy cameos? Because obviously there is obviously a tier, like there's famous people, but then there's people that just have any minor level of sort of
fame. There's definitely comedians around here.
Loads of comedians I know that are on
Cameo.
Loads
of comics do it, yeah.
And I genuinely am of the mind of the sheer small number that would come through Cameo. I would just, if they messaged me direct on Instagram and went, it's my wife's birthday, you can give
done
me a shout out. I've done them. I've done personal ones just on Instagram because
we've done them, haven't we?
Done,
like,
yeah, we've
people's
done it.
Birthdays
it's just
and
like,
can you send me one?
£500 a minute.
I'll just do it. Do you know what I mean? I don't need £8, whatever it's going to cost, £20.
Someone had the the saxophone player off Lost Boys.
Oh,
so it was a good. Yeah, he was like, they
what's
sent
his
me
name?
To show
Tim
me
something.
I forget.
But I got one. I got two actually. On the birth of my daughter, my wife got me two cameos. One from an actor called Tim Capello. Yes. But I got an actor called what's his name?
Brandon.
He's a musical theatre actor who plays Javert in the current production of Les Mis in the
Javert,
West End. He's a brilliant.
Is it Javier Munoz?
It's not. No, he might have taken over.
Javier
he might have had a change.
Philip Quast.
No, it's the current production. Currently in the West End.
Yeah.
I think you're reading out older actors.
Oh, sorry.
Come on. If I know my lame
Bradley Jaden.
Bradley Jaden, that's
there
it.
There we go.
That's why I was saying Brader. He's a very handsome man, isn't he? Very talented.
Wait, hang on. Who sent this to you?
So my wife got me a message from Bradley Jaden.
I'm fucking your wife.
Hang on. But why is he your... I'll just put this up on the screen so you can see as well, Jaden. Why is he your...
Darius David.
Well, basically, because I'd seen that production of Les Mis twice, and he's the best thing about it by like... not. I mean, he's such a brilliant Javert. If anyone knows Les Mis well enough, Javert is like, Javert probably has the best songs in the show, but he's so good. that I kept talking about him to my wife, and then she logged that information. When my daughter was born, I got a message on from Cameo from
Bradley. Couldn't stop talking about me,
but going like, mate, I'm really happy to hear you got a kid. Well, it was a lovely message.
Is he American?
No, he's English. The other one I got. Have you ever seen the sitcom Dave? American sitcom.
I saw a bit of that.
About a rapper, a white rapper.
Oh yeah, I know it.
There's a character called Gator in it, who's like his hype man, who's brilliant, and he I got one from him as well, and that was really cool. I imagine his price has gone up quite substantially since.
How are we spelling?
G-A-T-A. Oh.
Hang on, yeah, no, this guy.
And one I got. That's him.
This guy. He's cool.
The one I got sent from him was very good. Again, just wishing me a lot of luck for fatherhood. And it was that thing. I always took the piss out of Cameo, and then I got two that I really liked. Was like, oh, this is really nice. They're from two people that I really do admire. Mm-hmm.
And then
like
Julian sent you one, and you were like, oh.
Yeah, I pissed. I deleted it, mate. Didn't even read it.
Watched it, all of it. Didn't even watch the full, like, 7 seconds.
I cut them.
Oh, no. What did we do in your bird? Didn't we have to? Oh no, we had to write something, didn't we?
Well, oh yeah, I got like a sort of, on my 40th birthday, it was like a book of photos.
Oh, that was it, yeah.
My wife got everyone to send me messages. She copied that off me for her 40th. I did that. Oh. Put a scrapbook together, and I got all of her friends, family, to send a photo of them together and send a message, and I put it all in a book.
That's cute. Oh, you guys are adorable.
I'm a good present buyer.
Are you?
Yeah. And not just buyer, but I'll...
You got me a very thoughtful present, earbuds, but it's very thoughtful because I really like them.
Well, it's a reusable earbud. Yeah.
Can you get me a present, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
I'll have to think, though.
What do you like?
Oh, Abigailia is joining.
Oh,
there's somebody else. Door. Abigailia, roving reporter from Edinburgh, is live on air.
Is it going to work? Oh, no, we just saw a little grey circle.
No, the guest is here. I just need to...
Oh, my God. We can see it on the screen. We cannot hear it yet.
We cannot hear you yet,
Abigailia. We're going to try and sort the sound out.
Earpiece. Abigailia's live from Ukraine.
Oh no, that's you.
What are you doing? You got you and Abigailia on the screen. We're having an absolute nightmare here at CVI Towers.
Got some technical problems, guys.
Here we go. What's happening with the sound? We've got Abigailia floating in the middle of the screen.
Is her placement there okay?
Her placement is good.
We can't hear her.
I would
yet.
Go a bit higher up. Move her up so she's
head height.
I just
didn't want to get in the way of your logo.
I don't care about the logo.
Okay.
We're more than a logo.
I just need to figure out
the sound.
Can you hear us, Abigailia?
She can hear us. So until we sort the sound, we can only communicate with nods and shakes of the head.
There must be. Hang on.
Let's check.
About that?
Let's try it.
Testing.
One, two.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yay!
It works. Fuck. I didn't think. I never thought this was going to work.
You should have had more faith in me.
I should have.
Abigailia, thanks for joining us.
Yes,
live from Edinburgh.
Hello,
yes,
everyone.
You are the first.
We discussed it as an idea last week, but then we never actually got round to it. So you're the first live from Edinburgh guest we've had to give us an update. Feedback, thoughts on the Fringe 2022. Feels like a big year from down here.
What's the general vibes up there?
Okay.
Suicides?
Well, first of all, I have been very good about not going out too much so far.
Nice.
And so I've been really behaving myself. And that being said, I did have a little breakdown yesterday, and my boyfriend was like, I think you definitely need to go out and get smashed.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Was it like a cute breakdown, or was it like a breakdown?
It was like a cute breakdown. So basically, like, the hot goss or the big issue is because there hasn't been a proper Fringe in like 3 or 4 years now, or, you know, there was one last year, but it doesn't count. All of the staff, all the techs in the front of house are brand spanking new. There's no return people.
Oh.
So every venue is just a bit chaotic this year. I don't know if I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to be like, everything's great. My show's great. Everything's lovely.
We want to hear the real shit.
Well, no, because I've not been following it much. I don't know when you open Twitter and you see people sharing reviews and stuff. But from talking to a couple of friends up there, they were saying that there is a few issues from the time that the break that has happened. You know, they were actually saying that numbers are a little bit down on pre-COVID, not massively.
It's like, but there's so
there
many
is a
shows.
Slight drop off. It might just be that, yeah, it might be the shows. There seems to be quite a boom year for shows, so it might just physically be numbers of audience can't really make up all of it.
Here's the thing with audience numbers being down. Every fucking year, audience numbers are down.
Yeah, because, it's true.
Like, it rained. It was sunny. You know, the Olympics was on in Brazil.
Also, so, like, it's that thing. But then at the end, it happens every year where they say numbers are down. Everyone says numbers are down. But at the end, the Fringe Society released their numbers. And numbers were up 18 million people.
It just wasn't your show, pal.
Yeah, no, numbers were down. It's just like, my numbers were down. Shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But what's the actual vibe, though? What's the sort of, are people in good spirits? Are people enjoying it?
I think mostly everyone's really in good spirits. Everyone I've talked to so far is having a good time. The weather has been like amazing. Like, I don't have to walk around with a jacket. Once it gets dark, you'll need a jacket. But like yesterday it was, I don't know what it is in Celsius, but an American temperature, that's why I call Fahrenheit, is like 80 degrees out. It's like unseasonably warm.
Does it make the gig room hotter? Are the gigs like?
I have AC in my room.
It would have no effect on a room, would it? What are you talking about?
No, because that's always a problem a lot in Edinburgh, isn't it?
Yeah.
The heat of the room, let alone when the temperature, and that's when it's raining there. Like,
that's true.
Let alone the
temperature. But in the rain, when it's like, sometimes the rainy days in Edinburgh are the worst because it's sort of humid and it's almost like a sauna. Everyone comes in with wet jackets into these little sweat boxes and you can feel the water going into the air and everyone's all fucking sweaty and messed up.
Whereas
it's just a warm day, it's normally all right. It's when it's the double whammy is where it fucks you up a bit.
Yeah, it hasn't rained, I don't think, since I've been here. Maybe once for a few minutes in the very early morning.
Unheard of.
It is so nice right now.
Where are you? What's your venue?
I am at the Tron.
Nice.
It's a great venue.
Yeah, great. It's been really nice. It's my first time doing a pay what you want venue. And there's definitely some pros and cons that I did not consider, that I thought I knew exactly what it was going to be like. And but I do really like the room.
Yeah, it's a cool room.
Just the tonics?
What are the pros and the cons? Let's let people into the secret world of comedy.
I would say, so my venue, Pay What You Want, means that you can either come in for free and then I have a bucket afterwards and you drop some money in. Or you can reserve in advance and buy a ticket and you're guaranteed entry.
Yes.
The bucket has been plentiful.
Okay.
And that has been very encouraging. More
so
than
I thought. You do a good speech at the end of the show about the bucket.
I do. Oh, I got it. Oh, I got a good hook.
The second half an hour of the show is a bucket speech.
Yeah. It's called
The show's called Bucket Speech.
I've said this before. It's an idea I came up with for a show.
Bucket Speech.
It's called Bucket Speech. And it literally is an hour-long bucket speech.
I was so bad at it.
I might do it next year. It'd be a funny concept show.
It makes such a difference.
The idea I actually had was it was going to be a package show where it's three comics doing 20-minute bucket speeches each.
Yeah.
So you book people to come and do your best 20-minute bucket speech. So there's no comedy at all other than bucket speech.
Stu Goldsmith headlining every single one.
Yeah.
It's killing it every day. That fucking guy, because he also obviously used to be a street performer.
He's so good.
Genuinely one of the best bucket speeches.
12 grand a bucket.
Oh, do you know his little trick? I'll out him. I don't care.
Is it getting somebody to put a note in?
Yeah. He gives someone a note.
Is that true, though? Because I've heard that said about other people as well.
I'm pretty sure it's true because my boyfriend went to see him years ago, and the guy he gave the note to didn't understand what to do. So it just became a really awkward situation.
Yeah, so for listeners, viewers, the trick is you get somebody early doors in the queue to throw a note in front of everyone. So the bucket's there, get somebody to chuck a £20 note in, and it just almost like psychologically gets in everyone's mind, oh, fuck, I should throw a note in.
Does that work, though?
People are simple-minded, mate. You know, we're pack
animals.
If I see
someone's put a 20-quid note in, I'm like, oh, it's all right, then I only...
Yeah, fuck yeah, it. Yeah. Man. You got a round of comedy in. See you later, mate.
That was from us. And just walked
through. That was from all
Did
of
my
us,
partner
yeah.
put some
yeah,
in?
Yeah, that guy who walked out, he was my mate.
It's my dad.
So the bucket has been plentiful. But
the bucket has been plentiful, but And I think this has to do with, one, there's no app this year, which everyone's still annoyed with.
That's annoying.
And two, there is no box office at my venue. Like, the Just the Tonic box office is like, you have to go down there, blah, 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 blah. So my pre-sales, I get a show report at noon every day, and my pre-sales almost do not move at all. Right.
Oh, really?
Which surprised me, because when I was in the paid venues, if I woke up and I had 24 pre-sales, I know I would have 50 by the time the show starts. And so with this pay what you want model, I thought I would get the best of both worlds, the best, both the free fringe and the paid fringe. And instead, I feel like if people understand they can just come in and pay what you want, I'll get people, the walk-ups are very good, no one's buying tickets. No one's guaranteeing a ticket on the day.
It's almost like they're waiting. Like, I will wait and try and get in for free.
Because
I did. The only time I've done pay what you want a couple of times, but I've only ever done it in very small venues. Like, purposely, I did the bus and I did the yurt, both like 50 seats. So like, I always did. I had that thing where it was like literally every ticket was available to reserve, and like, but people knew that if there was a couple left, they might get in free. And then after a couple of days of it just selling out, then people just start booking because they're like, oh, I tried to get in that day and it was full. So like, I ended up doing it in that way where it sort of perpetuated to the point where people just had to realize they had to buy in advance. But otherwise, definitely like the first like weekend that festival I did it, I remember like, there was just people, just loads of people just coming up, chancing their arm. Yeah, I saw it. I thought I'd see if it was room to get in. It's like, why don't you fucking buy a ticket, you cheeky?
I did the Tron. It was the first year of Pay What You Want. And I just said, I don't want to do Pay What You Want. I just do a bucket. I don't know why. I didn't really understand it. So I was like, I'll just do a bucket. So I just did a 100% bucket, $4,000 an hour. No
Nailing
bucket
it.
Speech. I should just pickpocket people.
It's got your mate to put £3,990.
But I'd have to get the bucket of money, take it to the offices, and they'd count it. But then I'd have to go to a bank and put it all in, and it was like a ball ache, man.
Oh, man. I've done, I did the Free Fringe once, and that was, I did the Counting House Ballroom about 5 years ago. It's a big room. So the days when you do well on the old bucket, you basically walk home with
a
bucket of money. Yeah. And I just let it build up.
You can eat that day.
In a shoebox over the month. That shoebox was like mad shit, man.
Like a drug dealer.
Yeah, look at this. It's mad, isn't it?
Nice.
Yes.
Look at them green tanks.
Yeah, notes in the bucket, boys.
But you feel a bit grotty with all this cash laying around.
Yeah, I do now come home right after my shows because I don't want to just carry it around
in
my
bag.
Oh,
man, it's dangerous.
Yeah, it makes me
shit faced and buying a car. but what have you seen? Have you seen any other shows yet? That's always the.
My buddy Anthony DeVito is here from New York, and
show listed because it says I'm not Danny DeVito's son in the blurb.
Yeah, exactly, and it's about his dad, and I'm pretty sure all of his press says it, so I'm pretty sure I can just say it. His dad was a made man in the mafia.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
And he found out, like,
friend of ours,
later in life.
Didn't find out until he was older.
Yeah, he didn't know until he was older.
Weirdly, we were just talking about that before you came in about like if you find stuff out about your parents when you were young that you didn't know, would it change your childhood retrospectively? I was saying no. Obviously, Anthony DeVito's it's got a different opinion.
That's quite a nice thing to find out, though.
Yeah, we talking about find out what your dad was committed mass homicide over his life.
I would say that trying not to give too much away about Anthony's show, he respectfully disagrees with you. It changes things. But also, I saw Kate Barron's show. Which is on in my venue. Very good.
Yes.
Very fun. She, I've now been doing Edinburgh long enough that I'm like a microphone. That's all I want. I want. And she does a whole storytelling show. And then she has this like really cool light she uses afterward, or during the show, but it's one light that she had to rent for the whole show. Oh, it's very an effective piece of theater. Like, I think it really adds to it. But part of me is like, man, that's just, I have another person in the Tron, Erin, who's on before me. She's using a screen every day. Yeah, and I'm like,
so annoying.
I will never, never do any props or tech for a Fringe.
I've only ever done one show with a projector, and it was just the most tedious fucking thing I've ever had to do. Like, you just get so bored of it.
Well, yeah, actually, here's the big drama. Day two, so also they do not have enough techs in Edinburgh totally.
I've heard this. Somebody put a note out today saying they've lost their tech for the rest of the run. If they don't have one, they're going to have to cancel their run.
Our tech got COVID.
Oh.
So she's been gone. So what they're doing is they're like trying to run people in to like tech our shows really quick. And like I said, I have house lights on, off. A song I want played at the beginning, a song I want played at the end. And the girls in my room are like freaking out because they have tech and now there is no tech. Oh, and not only is there no tech, there's no like kid running around who's like desperate to fill an hour and will definitely do it.
Yeah. That was like, happened a bit in the Melbourne. I was at Melbourne Comedy Festival, and that was like, you know, COVID was doing the rounds, and yeah, there was text dropping like flies. There was text like, my tech one night had to just leave the show to go and sort of get another show up and running, and then dash back just to do the end of my show, just the lights up.
It's a good time for text then, isn't it? They could literally go there and just charge double.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So you go up and do it. You learn how to tech.
They'll do it for half the bucket.
Just do it. Get up there, Phoebe. Not now. Baby. We're busy right now.
Yeah.
After this. Yeah, it's going to be. I forgot about that. I forgot COVID's still a thing, isn't it? It's still doing the rounds, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think a lot more people probably have it up there than are saying they do because we've all spent so much money.
I think there's the old.
There's definitely comics with it. They know they've got it.
I reckon they just wouldn't do a test. Most comics up there, I reckon, would be like, I'm not going to test because I don't want to know.
The audience need me.
Someone in my venue who was a performer got it, so she's taken some time off. And our tech got it. And my producer is Brett Vincent, and he called me, and I was like, is this because we lost our tech? And he's like, I want you to carry Dettol wipes with you at all time and hand sanitizer. And then I saw him later that day.
Does he think that kills it?
I mean, I think it helps. I don't know.
He just doesn't want me to get
sick. And like, we were just having a chat, and then he just looks at me and yells, where's your hand sanitizer? I was like, thanks, Dad.
Are people wearing masks and shit up there? What's it like? I assumed Scotland was a little bit more strict than London was. So I assume people up there would be a bit more vigilant than they were down here.
Well, there's no mandate. So you don't like have to.
No, but I mean, in terms of culturally, it's like when I was in Australia, everyone's like, people are still a bit sensitive and a lot of masks still knocking around. Whereas like in London, the moment they stopped it, everyone's like,
even in London now, though, I did a gig on Monday, there's two people with masks on. It's still around, aren't they? Somebody
shouted them.
Yeah.
Take it off, you sheep.
Couple of snowflakes. Couple of Bill Gates.
I'm talking about the World Economic Forum, whatever it's called, everyone goes
the
on
New
about.
World Order.
But
you see some people wearing masks around, but it's not like. Like, you might see one or two people with a mask on. It's not like half the room or a third of the room even is wearing masks.
It feels a bit like, you know, I think, you know, not wearing one when you're on a sort of, I don't know, a train or something, I get. But, like, if you're going into a sweaty cave rammed full of people, everyone's right there, I feel like a mask is like, you know, you come on, mate.
How effective
do you think that is?
There used to be a guy that come in the sauna with two masks on. He'd put two on. And I'm like,
no.
Like, if he's scared of it.
If you're going into a sauna,
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
You're opening up all the pores of your body.
But then, as soon as the government said it's not mandatory or something, he just took his mask off. He didn't. It doesn't. Like, COVID's not abiding by the government. But if you don't go in a sauna, innit?
Have you seen any absolute shit at the Fringe?
Have you seen any absolute shit? That's a good question.
Not like, I haven't seen that many shows yet. I haven't seen any, like, really shitty shows. But if I did, I don't know if I'd feel comfortable, like, being like,
oh, no, no, you person. Know, there's always, like, one
don't
guy
go
in
here.
A room.
Yeah, this, I mean, you know.
Someone's given him a chance, and he's got some money, and he's doing a monologue about, his mum.
I haven't seen
show
that guy.
My show next is going to be me talking about my dad for 1 hour.
I never went to any shows. Oh, I did with you. I went to one. And then I was like, that was on the, like, the last weekend. I was I should have just seen shut up. Yeah. It's really fun. I didn't go to any at all.
You guys, so wait, do you only watch comedy shows then if you go?
I don't. I tend to actually watch quite a lot of theatre.
I go to the cinema. No, I didn't do anything.
No, I do. I tend to watch more theatre than comedy when I'm at the Fringe. Just because it's not, you know, it's, I see comedy all year round, innit? Mm. Whereas, like, yeah, but a lot of the sort of cool Fringe theatre.
That's where that's where the weird shit is in theatre.
Exactly. You see a lot of, I've seen a lot of cool stuff up there that has then transferred to, like, the National and things, like, you know, in the, not the main National, in the sort of the Dorfman and things like that. But I do like a bit of theatre myself.
I like going to the circus.
I mean, that's another one. It's getting to see a bit of cabaret, a bit of circus, a bit of fucking.
Are the Lady Boys of Bangkok up there?
Yeah.
They are, man. Julian knows. He's in their WhatsApp group.
So they're up there in the meadows again, are they? Yeah.
Yeah. Their tent's there. I assume it's their tent.
They'll never miss a year. There's always going to be sort of.
They're an institution.
What are their audience like? Do you
Wait, hang on. Are you? You're not joking.
Ladyboys of Bangkok. It's an Edinburgh institution. Because every year, it's a tent on the meadows.
You see them walking around. A
show. They're not doing anything sexual. The show is them doing like singing and doing things.
It's almost like
wanking off.
It's a sex.
It's almost like a Vegas show, isn't it?
I think it is. Yeah, but I think that it would be one of them things where a lot of like middle class, middle aged Scottish people go to, thinking they're being all risque going to watch the Ladyboys of Bangkok, and it's just like
different.
Just literally. A ladyboy singing like My Way. And they're like, oh, it was great.
I thought it was a sex kind of thing. Like
there's sex at all.
They get their willies out.
No one's getting their willy out in that show. Right, that's the end of this week's public episode. We hope you enjoyed it. What happens now, Julian?
They can, if they want to hear the rest of the episode, they can go over to patreon.com/wearetv.
There you go. Once you've signed up there, you can hear the rest of the episode. You can hear all the old Patreon episodes, exclusives, whatever.
It's 45p a week.
Is it? Is it? That's cool. Mm. I didn't know that.
Easy life.
There we go. It's even cheaper than I thought. So do that. And but if not, don't worry. You can listen to next week's public episode when it's released. Thanks.
Thank you.
You actually changed the podcast. I think you died of AIDS in an alleyway.